So we have to clarify the meaning of gamma. And I mean, I already said something last semester. No? So it has the dimension action, but I also give you a constructive way to compute gamma in terms of, we'll see it will be in terms of loops. Yeah? So this is basically the is a resummation scheme that's called loop expansion, Schleifenentwicklung in German, loop expansion. And how to do this? Let's first, we first have to introduce a parameter by which to count loops. And it turns out this is h-bar. H-bar counts loops. The loop counting parameter. Why this is h-bar will become clear. At least, I don't show you the whole beauty of many, many loops. I basically just go to one loop, but you'll see that one loop is proportional to h-bar, and then when you do this consistently, you'll see that higher loops are higher powers of h-bar. So how do I introduce h-bar? Well, remember that w has the same dimension as gamma. Gamma has dimension action, as we'll see, but also, as I already told you last semester. So I cannot just say it's log z. Of course, it must be h bar log z. So this is basically reinstating the h bar to give w the correct dimension of action. To give w dimension of action. H bar has dimension action. Okay. And then remember also that in Z, this was some normalization constant. And then functional integral. Aha. So now there was action. But action has dimension action. So in order to make the exponent dimensionless, I have to divide by h bar. Ne? Yeah, OK. In some sense, there is a choice involved. Ne? So j and phi, I assume them to combine so that this integral here gives dimension action as well. And then it also has to divide it by 1 over h bar. OK, so this is the starting point. And now, how do I get the loop expansion out of this? OK, so the ansatz is I know that eventually I will have gamma, which is w of j minus integral j phi, Legendre transform. Ne? So this phi here is the expectation value of the field. So I could, in principle, replace the integration variable by the sum of expectation value and fluctuation around expectation value. Okay, so I do the following. Set phi equals to phi, expectation value, plus fluctuation. And the fluctuations you count with square roots of h bar. And the fluctuation, let me call this psi. So this is fluctuation of phi around the expectation value. Né? This is the expectation value, the presence of a source, for instance. And this is the fluctuation around phi. And of course, you expect that fluctuations go with some powers of h bar, because, or some, well, in this case, a half a power of h bar. But we'll see why this counting is advantageous. Because, I mean, classically, I mean, the classical action, of course, doesn't need to see anything about h bar. No? That should not see quantum effects. And you see that instead of the phi integral, we now have a psi integral. I mean, there are infinitely many powers of square root of h bar, but those are not, for the argument, are not important. They will be absorbed in the normalization. But so now we do this expansion of everything around the classical or the expectation value of the field. And okay, why do I call this classical? Naja. Sometimes it's called classical. You'll see that it's not quite true. It's not the classical value that comes from solving the Euler-Lagrange equation. There will be corrections. So that it's actually not so good to call this classical. But to lowest order, it will be the classical value, as we will see, the lowest order in h bar. OK, so now let's expand this guy here in powers of, well, let's insert and expand in powers of square root of h bar. OK? So what I do is I take the exponent. And insert. So this is now S of expectation value plus square root of h bar times the psi plus integral x j, and then the same here, phi plus square root of h bar times psi. Okay. And then, of course, you can Taylor expand. I mean, if h bar is the expansion parameter, you expand, of course, the action in terms of h bar, or square root of h bar, so by Taylor. So the lowest order is the S at phi, expectation value. Naja, and then you get the first functional derivative at phi with respect to phi, the argument, and then the difference between phi and, so this phi, the quantum field phi and the expectation value phi. And that's, of course, the difference is just square root of h bar times psi. Yeah? And then, of course, since this was a functional Taylor expansion, it's also an integral over x. Yeah? This is the lowest order term. And then the second order term in the Taylor expansion, that takes two derivatives, no? Basically. So it's two derivatives of the action at the point of the expectation value. And then the square of the difference, no? Once, of course, at y and once at x. So you have square root of h bar times psi, let's say, of y, square root of h bar psi of x. There's an h bar, there's an integral over x and y, because it's a functional Taylor expansion, and there's a factor of 1 over 2 factorial, or 1 over 2, or 1 over 2. And so forth. The next order correction is, let me write it down, h bar to the 3 half over 6, which I missed here, okay, x, y, z, 3 powers of psi, the quantum fluctuation, and then the third derivative of S, third functional derivative. And so forth. No? The next order is h bar squared. And then you still have these two terms. No? So you still have plus integral x j expectation value phi plus square root of h bar integral x j psi. Okay? So far, we didn't make any mistake. We just computed the Taylor expansion up to third order, 0, 1, 2, 3. And then, of course, you immediately also notice that the action, remember, S was always S0 plus Si. And S0 was everything up to quadratic order. This is everything of up to quadratic order in phi. So this means this is everything that's higher than quadratic, cubic, quartic, and so forth. If you take the third derivative, there's no S0 part anymore, because three derivatives eliminate all the fields, you get zero. So you can immediately replace this already by Si. So you see that in this expansion, up to this point, you will have information about the free propagation of the particle, of course, but you will have much more as well. But in principle, whatever is quadratic, also from here, you will retain something. But this is generally interaction. So all the square root of, the h bar to the 3/2 and higher, I mean, the next is the fourth derivative, and there will be, the fourth derivative has then, is also the interacting part. And of course, the field theories we consider don't go much beyond fourth order in the action. So in principle, I could have written down the next term in the Taylor expansion, but it is truncated then. I mean, maybe I should make the effort to write also the fourth order term. Fifth order is zero. If your classical action is given and you just consider four point couplings in the classical action in S, this is really the classical action, then that's it. The Taylor expansion will terminate, and that's all you have. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe I will blow this up a little bit here. So, so this part here, this whole part here that comes here, including this is something that I'm not looking at this point. Let me just abbreviate this with S interaction depending on expectation value and fluctuation. So the psi's enter and the phi's enter in a functional way. And this can also be further treated systematically. Okay. Actually, maybe including h bar cube. Okay, we know it's h bar to the 3/2. Okay. Good. So now let's order the terms a little bit. So we have S of expectation value phi plus integral x j expectation value phi. Okay, then the order square root of h bar terms. I also have two. As you can see, there is one here. Multiplied with psi, and one here multiplied with psi. So plus j of x, and this whole thing multiplied with psi of x. Okay, and then I have this term that's quadratic in psi. So that goes with one power of h bar. Plus, whatever is higher order, so h bar to the 3/2. And h bar squared if you go to fourth order. Okay. So now let's plug it in here into Z. And let's plug Z into W. So it's log. Okay, but you see, the first two terms, they depend on the expectation value of phi.
not on the quantum field psi. Okay. So I can pull them out of this functional integral. No? So it's exp of 1 over h bar. S of phi plus integral x j phi. So these two terms can be pulled out of the functional integral. And then the rest is a functional integral, including normalization. Okay, and actually it's normalization prime because all the infinitely many square root of h bars I absorb into n. Just integrate over psi now, the fluctuating field. Okay, and then what do I have? It's this term here, divided by h bar, so it's square root of h bar to the minus 1, integral x. The functional derivative of s with respect to phi plus j times psi. This is this term. Both. And then the next term plus, okay, h bar over h bar is 1/2, integral xy psi. S, second derivative of S with respect to psi, to phi times psi, plus higher orders. No? Ah, and it's not h bar to the 3/2 because I divide by h bar, it's h bar to the 1/2. No? Okay. And then the log. Argument of the log is closed. Okay, so this is now this and this. Okay, so we have it all. Okay, and then we can compute gamma, huh? Aha. So this is W. This here. But what is this? W is h bar log exp 1 over h bar plus h bar log of this stuff. No? And the factor under the log becomes a sum when you take the log. And then you see what h bar 1 over h bar. So this starts with s of phi. And then remember, this was w minus x j phi. With phi, the expectation value. And here you see you have a plus integral j phi. So this minus j phi cancels this guy. No? So from the first term, you just get s of phi, nothing else. And then the next correction is order h bar log. OK, and then all the rest here, no? What I had there. So normalization, functional integral. And so forth. Okay. Good. Yeah, so I mean you immediately see limit of h bar to 0. You recover the classical action. So the gamma becomes the classical action in the classical limit. And corrections are down by one, at least one order of h bar. No? Well, you may still worry about this 1 over square root of h bar here. I will show you that this term is actually of the same order as these terms. This is the next step. So the lowest order term, the next lowest order term has no h bar in the exponent and only an h bar in front. So everything else is down by at least 1 power of h bar. So the quantum fluctuations come at order which correct the classical action are at least of order h bar. And of course, this is why this gamma is called effective action, because it also contains all these quantum fluctuations here. These quantum fluctuations. So there are corrections to the classical action from quantum effects, and of course in the medium thermal effects. No, in some sense, this is quantum because there's h bar. But when you compute the corrections as we know in the imaginary time formalism, you will also get thermal corrections. No? Quantum plus thermal corrections, thermal fluctuations. No? This will always be what happens. So because gamma is more than just classical action, you call this the 1 pi effective action. 1 pi effective action. Okay. So now let's look at this interesting term here with 1 over square root of h bar, which is potentially may spoil the power counting potentially. No? Hmm. So you'll see what's going on by computing this square bracket here. No? So let's compute delta S of phi with respect to phi plus j. What is this? J, as we know, is minus the gamma by d phi. So the sum of these two terms is actually the difference of the effective action and the classical action. Right? I just used the identity that the first derivative of gamma is minus j. But we have just seen that the difference of gamma and s is order h bar, right? Because it's this here. This is this quantum fluctuation part that constitutes the difference. If I put gamma on the other, s on the other side, obviously, this is order h bar, as just shown in this expansion. Good. But that means that this guy here is actually order h bar. So that means the first term here is of order h bar to the 1/2, and therefore it's of the same order as these terms here. So the lowest order term in the exponent is really this one of order 1 here. This is this guy, 1/2 psi, second derivative of s psi, which is of order 1 in h bar counting. Good. So then, in principle, you can expand again. You can expand the exponent under the functional integral again. So let's do that. So I'm going to write gamma of phi is classical action of phi plus h bar log. Okay, and then let's expand all the order h bar, square root h bar terms. Let's expand them in the exponent in a power series of h bar, square root of h bar. So I write this as functional integral, the psi, and then this thing here, as you can see, now has a Gaussian measure. But it's not the free theory, as you can see, because the free theory would mean there's a zero here. This is still the full action. Remember this. But in essence, I can now write the rest as 1 plus, I factor off from the exponent under the functional integral, I factor off the square root of h bar, and I can write this as 1 plus order h bar to the power 1/2. I can write them down in principle, but I don't need to. And then the log is closed. And then you can multiply this out and expand this guy here. Right? I mean, in the log expansion. So this is basically when you expand. So this is still under the functional integral here. So be careful. So if I write this, I can write this as 1 functional integral plus, square root of h bar and another functional integral which contains all the interaction stuff and also this stuff here. So I have to be a little bit careful. Probably just the reason why I didn't do this. So there is an h bar correction, which is basically this functional integral. Which you can do exactly because it's Gaussian in psi. Okay. Plus, order h square root h bar times, of course, h bar in front. So the rest is power h bar to the 3/2, at least. Of course, if you do it correctly, you'll see that it's really powers of h bar. But I didn't go through all this exercise here. I just wanted to show you that, in principle, the first order correction, the first quantum correction, that can be actually computed exactly. So what is this here? We know that the coefficient of the quadratic term in the action is usually the inverse propagator. In the free theory, it's the inverse free propagator. This is the inverse classical propagator. This is the inverse propagator. And it's not the free one, because it's not a zero, but it's the full action. I have to compute the full action, the second derivative of the full action. And we say this is the inverse propagator on tree level. Tree means really tree. No loops. Trees are diagrams without loops. So let's make an example so you see what's going on. So let's go lambda phi to the 4th theory. Let's take that. Okay, so we know what was S. This was integral L phi del mu phi. Okay, clear? Okay, what was that? It's minus 1/2. Integral z, I just changed the integration variables because it will be easier to see what's going on. So remember, we had 1/2 del mu phi squared minus 1/2 m squared phi squared. So by integrating by parts, I can write this as minus 1 half phi d'Alembert plus m squared phi. No? This is always the usual trick. And then I will introduce another delta function. So I introduce the delta for z minus v, phi of v, just so that you can do the functional differentiation in a simpler way. Yeah? This is still the free action, so this was L0. And as you see, this v integral is spurious, so you recover this stuff here. And I changed x to z. Now good, okay. This is only the free part. There's still another part, minus lambda integral phi to the 4 of z. This is the interaction part. Naja, and then you start to compute the first functional derivative, which you also need at some point, because it's hiding in the squared h-bar corrections, or 3-half corrections. So let's take a derivative with respect to phi of y. So we get delta function z minus y, and another term, delta function v minus y. So we get this twice. So it's minus, okay. Minus integral, we have to keep one. Let's keep this first one, okay. Okay, this is from the first part. And, you know, the factor 1/2, that's twice, no? I mean, I just relabeled integration variables, blah, 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 no? It's clear. And then, from the interaction, minus 4 times lambda. Okay. And, what do you get? I mean, you get a delta function z minus y, which kills you the z integral. So you get just phi cubed of y. Okay? Good. And then the second derivative, then you see why this is not the free propagator, because some part of the interaction is still there. Let's now with x, so this is basically what we need up there in the exponent. Here you get just a delta z minus x, so it's minus, okay, z becomes x. And the integral over z goes, but this delta function remains. And here you have minus 12 lambda phi squared of x delta 4 x minus y. No? One delta phi by delta phi is x delta function x minus y. Or you can, of course, put this together in terms of minus. Okay, then it's d'Alembert x plus m squared plus 12 lambda phi squared of x delta 4 x minus y. And this is, okay, minus the inverse propagator. Full inverse propagator depends on 2 points, x and y, and it depends on phi at x. Yeah, it's a delta x minus y, so it depends actually only on the difference, but okay, it doesn't matter. It also depends on phi at x. So in the loop expansion scheme, the resum object, the resum propagator, is the classical or the inverse propagator from the classical action. And why is this more? Because of this stuff here. No? This looks now like some self-energy correction. No? In the language of the Dyson equation, we would have said, oh, this looks like pi. No? This would be pi in the general formalism, but here the pi is simple. It's just an 12 lambda phi squared. Classic or expectation value phi squared, né, that is the, constitutes the self-energy. So it's a very simple self-energy. Of course, if there is no no expectation value of phi, then this is the same as a free theory. But if there is an expectation value, it corrects the free propagation to all orders in this interaction contribution, where you have where you have an expectation value of phi, or classical. It's not precisely the classical field, but we have this expectation value of phi. Okay, so how would that look like when I solve this formally? This is, looks like a Dyson equation again. Eh? The inverse is some. Here's still the zero inverse. The delta function you have to also take, of course, in a coordinate space. Okay, so formally you could write this as the inverse, no? Plus 12 lambda phi squared of x delta 4 x minus y. No? This is what you could, okay, I could have put the arguments here, x, y, phi, x and y. No? This is how I would write this. And then you invert this. So d is d0, 1 minus 12 lambda phi squared d0 inverse. Of course, they're all matrices, no? In x and y are the column, row and column indices. But I mean, the inversion goes as before, no? This is basically the formal solution of the Dyson equation. Or sorry, this is the Dyson series, and this is the formal solution. So how is this now? This is a geometric series again. Eh? So it starts with d0, and then the next term is d0 times 12 lambda phi squared d0 plus and so forth. No? And it's free propagation, d0. Plus free propagation, and then 12 lambda phi squared. Ne? Phi squared means you have two pins. We always agreed to the fact that the phi is a pin, ne? When I discuss gamma. And they sit at x, and then, of course, yeah, you propagate on. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you have to. The inversion, of course, no? Inversion is a matrix inversion, involves some convolution. No? There will be some summation over rows and there will be summation over row and column indices, which are in the middle, no? In this object here in the middle. So you will also have an integration over this point, as usual, no? When you consider this. This, of course, there's a lambda, no? This, there's a 12 lambda vertex factor. And then you have. And the 12 is again combinatoric, so in principle you should write 12 and then just lambda here. Okay, fine. And then the next correction is correction, propagation, and so forth. Hmm? So in a sense, there is a resummation of something, but it's not the loop, 1pi loop self-energy that you compute diagrammatically. But it's just if the phi assumes an expectation value, no? Of course, there's still the four-point vertex here with four legs, no? But two legs are basically just two pins where the field is inserted. Okay. Naja. So of course, this D has the same, D inverse has the same properties as D inverse, D zero inverse, no? Because all that happens is that M squared gets an additive contribution. No? So if M squared is larger than zero, then of course M squared lambda is of course positive because we started with minus lambda in the action to have a potential that is bounded from below. So this is also positive. No? So it's invertible, it's symmetric, and you can compute this order h bar contribution exactly. No? So d0 is a positive definite. And then you have this Gaussian integral over psi, no? as for the free field theory that we discussed at length. No? So this is basically, this here is, it's not the free because it's the full D, well, at least the D where the pins are resummed, but otherwise the result of the integral is the same. No? So you can immediately write gamma is a classical action. And then, yeah, you do this integral. And somehow I have an extra mind. Ah, so, yeah, so, okay, so you know how this works. No? This is determinant of D inverse to the power minus 1/2. No? So these integrals, psi d inverse psi. No? This is what it is, no? Because this guy here is, in my definition, minus d inverse. And this is always up to factors which are not interesting, determinant of d inverse to the power minus 1/2. No? The standard result of a Gauss integral times factors, and then in the log, the factors become additive, but they're not interesting. So it's basically minus 1/2 times h bar, so minus h bar over 2, log of determinant of the inverse. And then the next correction is order h bar to the 3/2. And there will be more complicated loops when you do this. I mean, in principle, you can treat this interaction thing. This came from the interaction part of the action. You can treat this like in perturbation theory. But now, the connecting, all the loops contain these propagators d instead of d zero. In principle, you can set this up. I didn't bother to do this here because I will tell you that this is interesting, but not as interesting as a resummation scheme, this loop expansion. That's why I don't dwell too much on this. But you see already, the first correction is this order h bar. And what is it? I mean, you can compute this. Let's compute it. Log that is trace log. No? So just this part here. So it's minus h bar over 2. Log that is trace log. The inverse is minus h bar over 2, trace log. Yeah, what was it? This was the inverse, the zero inverse plus 12 lambda phi squared. Okay. And then you can factor this out. No? This is the zero inverse, and then 1 plus 12 lambda phi squared d0. Since this is at one point, it doesn't matter, no? Where you put it. Then you factor this off. So you factor off a trivial free propagation. No? And here you have to expand the log in the power series. No? This 1 plus something, so it's sum over, so it's plus because of expansion of the log, n equal 1 to infinity, 1 over n trace of, yeah, okay, there's a minus 12 lambda phi squared to the power n, d0 n. Okay, this is the expansion of the log 1 plus. And then what is this? So you see, n equal 1, the first term, is basically, so this trace is still in coordinate space or momentum space. No? So it's really a close, one power of n means 1 d0 and one vertex with two pins, phi squared. Now this is really d0. And then the next term is 1 d, is 2 d0s and two pins at one point, and then at another point also two pins. No? So this trace log basically resums all these diagrams. No? It's a free propagation modified by one double pin insertion, free propagation modified by two double pins, and so forth. No? And so forth. Up to n double pins. Okay, and there's a factor of 1 over 2 here, okay. And the next is 1 over 3, and so forth. So it looks very similar to our plasmon diagrams we already encountered, except what is resummed are these phi squared corrections, not the tadpole. Just the phi squared is resummed. This is what the loop expansion does. And then higher order, I mean, more complicated diagrams, they sit all here. No? The simple one loop guy can be interpreted in this form. No? So it's really, sometimes people draw this also like this, because the full line is basically the D. No? The D is a full line, a double line, sorry, well, thick line, let's see. I put this in the script. No? Sometimes this term is written like this, but what it actually means is it's a free loop and then all these corrections. No? Good. I think we're over time, so we will conclude this on Friday, and then we'll start to discuss something more interesting than this. Okay. See you Friday.